Hare Krishna. Okay, we start with a question from a Bhakta Peter. He says in 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, he says, when the moon, the sun, and Brihaspati are together in the constellation Karkata, and all three enter simultaneously into the lunar mansion Pushya, at that exact moment the age of Satya or Krita will begin. He says, according to astrological calculation, this is very rare, and it will happen on the 26th of July, 2014. In other words, it already happened last week. He says, even Nostradamus draw a sketch about this. So what does this mean for devotees? Is the golden age of Kali Yuga just about to begin? The golden age of Kali Yuga began with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance is much more auspicious and much more powerful than any astrological sign or any movement of any planets. Aside from that, if Bhakti Peter looks at the context of where this is described in Srimad Bhagavatam, he will see that this is the transition between the end of Kali Yuga and the beginning of Satya Yuga. And since there's another 400,000 plus years to run in Kali Yuga, it certainly doesn't talk about July the 26th. And it doesn't really take much intelligence to realize that. We shouldn't try to screw meanings out of Srimad Bhagavatam. If we read Bhagavatam and read it as it's presented, it's very clear in the 12th canto what is being talked about. Kalki Avatar comes, kills all of the atheists, and thereafter Satya Yuga is ushered in, and this is the astrological sign of that Satya Yuga. So I try to make something out of the golden age of Kali Yuga out of this, just because coincidentally there happens to be a similar astrological configuration on the 26th of July. There may be so many similar astrological configurations between now and the one that's spoken about. After all, the planets tend to align on a regular basis in repeating formations. Okay, we're going on to Dakshina Devidas. He says, tell me a little more about the Yamaduras. Is their role permanent, or do other jivas have the opportunity to do this service? I wonder if she wants to do it. Not a service I'd want to do. It's jivas who, for some reason, are in this particular situation. Quite a thankless task, and the only benefit, the best benefit that they get from all of this is seeing personalities like Vishnu Duras and being able to associate with Yamaraj. And by associating with Yamaraj, they hear about the glories of devotional service and the glories of the holy name. And she wants to ask, she also asking whether Yamaraj is a position like Brahma, or is it a constant person who's always Yamaraj? No, he's also a demigod, and according to what someone deserves, they're then allowed to play this role as the Lord of Death. Tarun Krishna then asks, why is it that the Brijbasis do not follow Krishna when he leaves Vrindavan? Are they as much attached to Vrindavan as they are to Krishna? Yes, they're even more attached in one sense to Vrindavan than to Krishna. And why is that? Because Krishna's presence is more stronger when he's absent from Vrindavan than when he's there. Although in truth, Vrindavan pratijanapadamika gacchati, Krishna never really leaves Vrindavan. Krishna's always there in Vrindavan. But the vipralamba seva, the mood of service and separation, is so intense that the Brijbasis' absorption in Krishna makes them so oblivious in one sense, or sometimes, of the fact that Krishna is even absent. They're not even necessarily aware that Krishna is even absent. And then, of course, on the other side, they are aware. The eternal liberated souls are always associating with Krishna on the uppercut, or what Prabhupada calls the bhava platform. And the sadhaka siddhas, they see that Krishna is absent. And he finishes, when Lord Rama left Ayodhya, the inhabitants all wanted to leave with him. They did want to leave with him, but they didn't, because Lord Ramachandra told them to go back, as Krishna also told Nanda Maharaj to return to Vrindavan. And ultimately, all the Brijvasis are always obedient to Krishna's desire. Then Ashutosh Das says in Harinam Chintamani, Bhaktivinoda Thakur instructs that by constantly chanting is the only way to overcome offenses against the holy name. Is this a mechanical process or something that Krishna in the form of his holy name takes away personally when he's pleased with one's effort? There's nothing really mechanical about any part of Krishna consciousness or devotional service. Nothing mechanical actually brings success. Mechanical practice only leads to conscious practice by very gradual purification of the heart. But Krishna says, Yomi Bhaktya Prayachati. Krishna's looking for bhakti. He's looking for devotion. He's looking for the right attitude, that one is very attentive in one's devotional attitude, and neither is one performing devotional service resentfully or begrudgingly or just sort of dragging one's heels, but utsahan, with enthusiasm and a desire to please Krishna. So Ridyantostohi Bhadrani, when Krishna sees that right attitude and determined practice, then Adi Abhadra, then yes, he'll remove it from within the heart. And finally, Garugraj asks, what can a practitioner do when he recognizes that he can't hear others? Can't hear others' instructions or others' corrections. Well, he better learn how to hear. Obviously, we're always hearing. Either we're hearing our mind or we're hearing others. When we hear our mind, then we'll just become entangled, entrapped. And when we learn how to hear other Vaishnavas, spiritual master, and scriptures, and act upon the advice that we give, then we can advance forward in spiritual life. Devotees who are not able to hear and take proper advice, they will have a very difficult time in spiritual life. And so he concludes by asking, how can we help someone who's in such a situation, who doesn't want to hear others? Very, very difficult. Of course, gradually, if the heart becomes purified, that desire will awaken. So somehow or another, we try to engage them in service, give them prasadam, get them to chant, and gradually it will change. But they will have difficulty. And if they get kicked enough by material energy, which will be the difficulty that they experience, then they may wisen up and come to the stage that they realize, I need help. I can't do this all by myself. I need guidance, as Arjuna also told Krishna, Shishashtiham Sharimam Tam Pratapanam. And that's what it means, surrendering to Guru, surrendering to Vaishnavas, that you really say, now you tell me what to do and I'll do it. In the absence of that, one is neither really initiated nor really a serious practitioner or Vaishnava. And those are our questions and answers today, and more tomorrow. Hare Krishna.